When we vibrate at a state of gratitude, we are automatically accepting the present moment in all of its glory, in all of its messiness, for exactly what it is, meeting it with unconditional love, and returning us to our natural state of love. Everything is perfectly designed, even the suffering, to bring us back home to love.
There's already enough suffering in it. It is our job to find the meaning, to choose the love, and to come back to gratitude.
Because with every loss, there is space. And in that space, there is something that is looking to be created.
We are being called to rise up, to level up, to choose a higher perspective, to stop feeding our own chaos, wherein myself is asking to be healed. Everything is here to be loved. Everything is either an act of love or a cry for love. We are cracking open this world right now, and these systems and this corruption and all of these things, so that the light can go in. Do not get lost in the crack and the breaking. Do not become the breaking. Be the light that goes into that break and transforms it and transmutes it with love.
We use gratitude to then fuel our passions for making a change. We can only make a change when we are living from a place of love.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. This is episode 40, and today we have a bit of a different and really important message for you all. We are going to be saving our personal updates for the end because we really want to get to the message and the center point of this episode right away. Today we're going to be talking about gratitude. And I want to start with a little bit of a disclaimer that this episode is probably going to be a little bit tough. You know, we are in an unprecedented time right now as a species, as a collective on this planet. We are living through some really challenging times. And looking at that and inviting ourselves to find purpose and meaning in the chaos and to choose a higher perspective is a very difficult thing to do. It's something that Eric and I are pretty adept at doing in our lives over the last few years that we've been cultivating it, and it's still really challenging. And so I want to save space first and foremost for the humanness and the messiness and the chaos that is the world right now. You know, we are seeing unprecedented natural disasters and war and famine and chaos, corruption. So much truth is coming to light, you know, about the fluoride in our water and the poison in our American food system and other things that I don't want to mention on this show. And, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And so before we sit here and go into offering this higher perspective and offering this message of hope and of love around choosing gratitude, I really want you all to know, if you're listening to this, we are in this with you. We are not perfect, and we are just offering what we believe and know in our experience to be a way out. And so please receive this message with the utmost love and know that it comes with good intentions and a direct request from the divine to put this message out there and really encourage people right now to remember gratitude.
You put it so perfectly in the episode title, in that gratitude delivers us to love. Suffering is a very palpable human experience that I think that we can all relate to. We walked a journey through suffering for a long time. And I can tell you from my personal experience that gratitude is the key. It is that key that unlocks the door out of the negative emotions and those lower vibrational states and returns us into truth, into love. Because gratitude, by its very definition, is being grateful for what is. When we vibrate at a state of gratitude, we are automatically accepting the present moment in all of its glory, in all of its messiness, for exactly what it is, meeting it with unconditional love, and returning us to our natural state of love and being in awe of the Creator. Because everything is perfectly designed, even the suffering, to bring us back home to love.
When I think about suffering, I think about resistance. Suffering to me is just resistance to what is. And something I really want to vulnerably share before we kind of get deeper into this is, for me, looking at the world right now, you know, I see it on social media, I see it out in the world, etc., of people seeing the stories of what other people are going through and then entering into a state of suffering themselves. You know, this is so upsetting, right? We see the stories about North Carolina, or we see the stories about the war and genocide and all of these things that are going on. And then people then take on that suffering. This is so unfair, you know, and enter that vibration with them. And that's a natural experience, right? I'm a human. I see some of these things, and sometimes I need to just sit and cry with them for a minute. I need to let the emotion flow through me. The problem lies in when we attach to that and we make it our experience. And that seems to be a lot of what I'm seeing these days, is a lot of people saying, I'm so upset, I'm so depressed, this is so terrible, how could this be happening? You know, our government is failing these people, whatever it is, and becoming that experience. And so if any of that resonates, and I know you have an example to share where this manifested in your life yesterday, leading to this episode, if that resonates in any way in your experience, please remember what someone else is going through, feeding it with your own suffering is not helping them. It's not helping the world, and it's not helping you and all of the people around you. Maybe you have children you care for, a partner, family members. When we are sinking into those experiences and those vibrations, we are now creating it in our experience. And so we've effectively taken this experience that's happening over here, and we are spreading it, kind of like a virus, right? Spreading it like a suffering emotional virus. Our work as conscious people, as people of this planet, as light beings, beings of love, whatever you want to call yourself, our work is to remember that that is not our experience. It is not our emotion to take on. And that the most important thing that we can do is do our own work to check our own emotions and projections and biases and unresolved trauma and choose love, choose gratitude. Because sending those people love, sending our government officials love, sending both sides of a war love is what gets us out of this. That's what starts to heal the consciousness problem. But sending anger and hate and bitterness and resentment and sadness and depression, that is feeding the problem.
100%. It's feeding the beast. And that is what we are here as conscious people on this planet to do, is to change our mindset collectively. And it's natural for us to feel that experience when we see our brothers and sisters in suffering. It would be unnatural not to, right? That's empathy at its finest. It's seeing someone else's experience and feeling it as our own, because we're all connected. Now, we've all been trained that is the loving thing to do. That if we see somebody suffering, then we also have to suffer along with them, because then we're right there with them, right? We're holding that frequency with them. We're in support because we're suffering. But what does that really contribute to this world? More suffering. It just begets more suffering. We can understand and empathize with somebody's experience of suffering and then bring love to them instead. That is a higher perspective. That is supporting somebody else.
I think it's really important as well to invite a more zoomed out perspective of how much of that suffering is real and how much of that suffering is perceived. You know, we all have our own paths to walk. The things that we've chosen to come down here and experience and learn for our soul's evolution, for the planet's evolution. We could never know from our limited human perspective of this one perspective out of infinite perspectives and possibilities what someone is experiencing or what they chose to experience or what they needed to experience, maybe to clear karma or to be on the other side of something in another lifetime that they caused, right? Like, it's metaphysically and spiritually speaking, it's a very complex situation. And so if we can just zoom out and bring that higher state of thinking to something, contemplating where is there suffering and where am I projecting suffering? And just coming back into our own experience. You know, so much of my life, most of my life, other than the last 2 to 3 years, was spent in suffering, in thinking I was a victim, suffering through the system, suffering through addiction, suffering through abuse, suffering through insert blank, even in this relationship, suffering. I'm a victim of your actions. I look back on my life now, and all of the hardest moments of my life, from my miscarriage, to my father passing away, to being imprisoned, to losses in my life, are hands down the best things that ever happened to me. I know exactly why they happened. I know that they needed to happen. I needed those experiences. I needed that suffering to wake me up, to remind me of love, because suffering is a choice. It's a choice. I was creating those narratives. I can look at my miscarriage and say, I'm a victim, and this is this horrific thing that's happening to me, and why me, and be angry, and be in all of those emotions, which I did for quite some time, and it did not serve me. It drove me further into the suffering. Or I can be where I am now, looking at that miscarriage and being grateful. I am so grateful that my daughter came down and fulfilled that soul contract with me so that I could experience what I needed to grow and wake me up. I am grateful that that pregnancy didn't go full term because I was riddled with toxins in my body, in my mind, and in my heart. I was not living a conscious and healthy lifestyle. I'm grateful that I'm able to get pregnant. I'm grateful for all that I learned from that, about what kind of mother I want to be now and what kind of temple I want to create now. And had I not gone through that experience, I wouldn't be having the outright mystically beautiful preconception phase that I'm having right now, consciously connecting with my womb, doing womb work, doing intentional things in my mind and my body and my soul and my home to be prepared for a child, rather than just, I love you and I want a baby, so let's get pregnant, right? So we can see how that experience was necessary and how I can be grateful for it now. When my father passed away, which if you're not familiar with my story, at the time was a murder investigation. He was in his 40s, very young. It was really sudden and it was really tragic at the time. I'm an only child and I was dealing with his estate, and it absolutely destroyed my world. It was the catalyst almost 4 years ago that started my awakening journey. And look at that. My father's death was not meaningless. My father's death started my awakening journey. The most profound thing that my soul is going to experience in this lifetime, his death started that. That was the catalyst for that. And obviously at the time it was horrific, and it took me years, almost 2 years, to reach a perspective. But today I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the strength that I got from that experience. I'm so grateful for the healthy relationship I have with grief now because of that experience. But more than anything, I'm grateful I had a father, and I choose to focus on that. And the key message I hope that you all take home today, and I know you have a lot to share on this with your example, is it's being grateful for what there is to be grateful for. It's not dismissing or ignoring what hurts. Does it hurt that my father passed away? Of course. I miss him so much. And it's still hard all these years later. I still have times where I think of my miscarriage and the hope that was that pregnancy and feel a little sad. That's just the humanness of it. I'm not saying that's not there. I'm saying I choose consciously to allow that emotion to pass through me for a minute, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever it needs, and then choose gratitude. Okay, I've allowed that emotion real quickly to go through me in whatever way it needed to, cry it out, scream it out, and now I'm back to being grateful. Thank you, Dad, for all that you taught me. Thank you for all that you left me. Thank you for all that you bestowed upon me with your wisdom and your DNA. Thank you, daughter, for the three, almost 4 months I did have with you. They were magical. And I'm so grateful that I got to experience that with you. And I know you'll be back, right? She's coming back. I'll see my dad again. Their energy lives on, and it's so much bigger than me. And so that's the key point I want to drive home here, and I'll pass it off to you, is it's not about dismissing what's going on in the world right now, what people may be experiencing in this war or this disaster or this political situation. It's about consciously choosing to focus our energy on what there is to be grateful for.
Thank you. We have to be wary of the bypassing during this time, because yes, there's the whole love and light movement of everything is love and everything is light. Yes, it's true. And we are here on this planet, and this planet has density to it, and there are experiences of suffering here. The issue is, like you said earlier, when we resist the suffering. Because suffering is not inherently bad. It is actually our greatest gift. It is our greatest teacher, because it pushes us out of our comfortability and into the unknown, pushes us to grow. We are in spiritual war right now. And in spiritual war, like any other war, there are casualties. How we deal with grief matters, because it speaks to how we honor the souls that have moved on from this plane. The energy and the frequency that we choose to hold in their memory speaks to what we are creating on this planet. You know, it really sparked this deep contemplation of gratitude for me was hearing one of these stories of North Carolina, of deep grief and deep visceral loss that really moved me. And I was driving and noticed myself start to go into these lower frequencies, the same ones that I felt when we went through our grief experiences of anger, at deep sadness. And I paused. I felt them in my body. And I asked myself, is this serving me in my experience right now, driving with my partner? Is me being sad helping anybody experiencing a natural disaster? Or is it pulling me away from what I have to offer, which is love, which is the ability to bring the experience that we have with grief to you all, so that you can understand that there is a way forward, and that way forward is love, and the way we get to love is through gratitude.
You know, something that is kind of dawning on me right now, and we didn't even really talk about this before this episode, is grief and collectively the grief that we are navigating right now. You know, if you've been around for our story, maybe you haven't, maybe you've heard the intro of this show, we say immense grief. We name off a bunch of things in our experience we've had the blessing to work on overcoming together, like trauma and patterning and mental health, addiction, etc., infidelity. But the one thing that we added an extra word to was grief. Immense grief. Between my father, two of your uncles, our pregnancy, a couple of friends, a couple of extended family members, we had almost double-digit losses in under a year. Several of them very traumatic and tragic. And that grief is not something that we talk about much on this show. You know, we really do try to amplify love and consciousness and things that support and expand them. And this is the one episode where I feel like we can really just kind of be in that and be in that humanness, because grief is very real. We are all connected. And so maybe you find yourself hearing a story or reading a news story like Eric did yesterday, and immediately just feeling this immense grief and not really understanding why, because we don't know these people, right? We are all one. We are all connected. We are all one big human family. And so what our brothers and sisters are going through in North Carolina or in the Middle East or anywhere else, it does affect us. And the most powerful thing that we can do is return that energy with love, with positivity, with gratitude. We honor their experiences and their lives by choosing to live on, by choosing to build something that is better, by choosing to contribute to a world where these things don't have to exist anymore, where I promise you they don't exist anymore. Because there is a way out of this. We do get out of this. The light does win. And the grief is very real. And as two people who have had an extensive history with grief, my hearts go out to everyone out there that is being impacted by all that's happening. I wish I could tell you it's going to get easier. It's going to get a little worse before it gets better. We are purging. We are squeezing the pus out of the infection, and that is necessary. That is necessary to move forward. We have got to stay out of the low energetics. The anger and the fear and the bitterness and the bickering on the internet and all of those things sucking into the news, it's not serving us right now. And so maybe you're not doing those things. Maybe you're just someone that's just like us and is just feeling that sadness. Consciously work with that. Consciously choose to feel it in a healthy way, release it, and then send it love, send it gratitude. You know, send it service, send it whatever you can to help, because love is infinitely more powerful. You will find a plethora of scientists and spiritual teachers who will try to quantify this. I choose to believe that's not quantifiable and it's infinite. Love is infinitely more powerful than fear or hate or anger or suffering or grief. And so one person consciously praying and sending love to the people in North Carolina or to the other side of the world, or I've lost count of how many wars are going on, because there is no winning in war, right? There's no bad guy and no victim. War is war. Everyone suffers. one person beaming conscious and intentional love to that is more powerful than pick whatever number fancies your heart. Some people say thousands, hundreds of thousands, more powerful than that. On the flip side, right, if we turn that around, if you see these things and you sink into anger, and again, we're not saying feel anger at all, that's normal, but sink into it, identify with it, become it, spew it out to someone else, spew it out into the collective, the internet, whatever it may be. That now is so impactful. And now we need another conscious person beaming love to counteract that additional anger. There's already enough suffering in it. It is our job to find the meaning, to choose the love, and to come back to gratitude. And when we come back to gratitude, it will deliver us right back to the love.
That right there. What does that look like? What does choosing gratitude look like in this moment? I can tell you from my experience, had you told me that I would look back at the miscarriage of our first pregnancy and all the suffering that was experienced there and say that I was grateful, I probably would have laughed at you. Because I almost took my own life during that time frame. I was self-imploding and pushing away my partner and living in addictions and just deep, deep suffering. And had it not been for the immense suffering of that experience, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have had that push to break out of the negative cycles that I was in. And so I am grateful for the soul contract that we had with our daughter and for the fulfillment of that, regardless of the suffering that was experienced on the way. It's choosing to find the lesson, because in every experience of suffering, there is a lesson there for us. Right now, with all of the chaos that's going on in the world, whether you are actually experiencing a natural disaster or war or the grief of losing somebody, a relationship, a job, whatever it may be, look deeper into what you are being called to, into what is trying to be birthed into your experience. Because with every loss, there is space. And in that space, there is something that is looking to be created. So find that and bring that into your experience, because that is honoring the grief.
Something you said was about like finding the lesson. And I think it can be even more than that. You know, it's not just a lesson, right? Finding the opportunity, finding the gratitude. There's so many different ways to look at this. There's no one right way. You know what works for you in your experience. You are your guru. You have all of the answers within you right now, anything you're facing, to come out on the other side of that. It's just making a different choice. It's no longer being in the cycle of suffering. And I think in so many ways, you know, I know we were, and in some ways we still are, right? We're still navigating it. Being addicted to our own suffering, because that's comfortable, right? Pain is predictable. What does it look like when we exit that cycle? What's on the other side? It's all we've ever known. As a species collectively right now, I speak generally, we have been living through chaos. Albeit many people have been living with their heads in the sand, escaping, ignoring, right? Ignorance is bliss, consumerism, running the rat race, so tied up and so exhausted that they didn't actually ever have time to stop and realize they're not happy, fulfilled. Why am I on this planet? What does my soul want? Not what does society think. Me as a soul, what do I want? Why am I here? How do I cultivate something of meaning for this planet, for the future generations? Right? We can't live like that anymore. That's not working. It just won't work anymore. And so we are all, every single one of us, none of us are immune to this experience. We are all being called to more. We are being called to rise up, to level up, to choose a higher perspective, to stop feeding our own chaos, to stop being addicted to the suffering. I myself think about these things and think, oh, I'm not addicted to the suffering anymore. I've cracked that code. I'm here to tell you, the last 48 hours humbled us on our asses real quick. Because we're being shown all of the places in our partnership where we are still addicted to the drama. Maybe suffering and chaos doesn't work for you. Maybe try the word drama. For us, we like the drama, right? The drama feels good. It's the pasión. That's passion in Spanish. Where am I creating that in my awareness, in my mind? Because everything that I'm creating inside of me is being projected out into the world, and vice versa. The world is just a reflection of what's going on inside of us. And so the next time that you want to look out at anything in the world, and I'm talking about some of the deepest and darkest things, like child trafficking, that's coming out right now. I'm here to tell you it's about to get a lot heavier. Because we're just scratching the surface of what's going on there. Can we even look at all of these things and see a higher perspective? Can we zoom out and ask where in myself is asking to be healed? Because everything is here to be loved. Everything is here to be loved. No matter how bad or dark or evil it seems, it is simply just an absence of love. We were in church on Sunday, and the title of the sermon was Everything is an Inside Job. And it was a guest speaker, and he shared my father's name, and he was talking about how his father had passed away. And so obviously this really got my attention because I had prayed that morning, God, show us the lesson and the message we need to hear in this sermon. And as the title goes, everything is an inside job. Everything is a call to ourselves. If I'm upset at someone, there's more inner work to be done. If I think something is anything other than God's perfect creation, there's more work to be done. It's all a call to inside. But something that this man said that I've definitely heard before, and maybe it's just from this newer state of consciousness, but it absolutely rocked me to my core. I saw the few people in this universe right now that I'm not in active, healthy, loving relationship with. For all of its intention and perfectness, this man said, everything is either an act of love or a cry for love. There's nothing else. If love is the foundation of everything and love is all that there is, and God is love and everything was created by God, then anything that's out of alignment with that is just a cry for love. And so war and all of these things that are going on right now are a cry for love. You can be that love. You can be that love. You can choose to be that. You can choose that. You can choose whatever you want. You have free will. Do you want to choose anger? And do you want to choose to feed the stories and the narratives and, oh, our government this and the war that and this country that and this leader that and this presidential candidate that? Do not sink down into that. You are a powerful, infinite quantum computer. You are a creator. You are the creator manifest, experiencing life from your perspective that only you can do. What are you creating right now? Are you creating love? Are you creating more love for these situations? Or are you feeding them?
Thank you for sharing that. You know, another really beautiful aspect of that sermon that we experienced was that during that service, the community of the church had somebody volunteering to hold space. They called it the high watch. Somebody meditating and holding the container of everybody in that service in love. And that is what we are called to do right now during this time of great chaos and suffering for the greater collective as they go through their process, as we all go through our own processes. We are called to hold a higher vibrational state and hold that container for us to move into. And so even if you can't find the lesson, you don't need to know it to be able to send gratitude. It can be as simple as, God, thank you. Thank you for providing these catalysts to wake more of us up, to return us back to a state of love. God, thank you for bringing this darkness out into the light so it can be loved.
I feel like this is one of the core predicaments of the human experience, is our egos, our minds, like to mislead us that we need to know everything, right? We need to know X thing exists in order for it to exist. Just because you can't know the lesson right now, or the opportunity, or how this is going to serve your evolution, the planet's evolution, our evolution as a species, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And if you can just hold on to that right now, something that I have been saying a lot lately in my life, and they seem minor, right? It's all relative to our experience. Right now, this is our home. This is everything we have. We literally have nowhere to stay if this trailer is not in good working order. We literally are towing everything that we own, our home, our puppies, our things. And so when something happens to that, like breaking down in the middle of New York or getting in an accident, you know, having someone hit your car, that for us is a really big thing. And so the call to remember that suffering is relative. However, something that I've been really strongly cultivating in my life in these high stress moments, or just difficult moments in this partnership especially, we have been really being called to level up and transcend some of our core, most inner soul wounds, is saying in my head over and over out loud if I need to. I don't care if I look like a crazy person on the side of the street in New York in the rain. God, I know you're in this. I know that you're here. Maybe I can't see it yet. I'm willing to allow the possibility and the reality that you're here in this. You're with me. You have a plan. It's way better than my mind can conceive. And my human mind, and I say childish, not in an immaturity or like a lowering type of way, but in a child of the universe way. My childlike mind wants everything to be perfect and can't conceive like why these things need to happen, right? People always say like, why does God let bad things happen? Or why do children need to get cancer? Or why does someone need to be sexually assaulted? We don't need to know why, right? That's between their soul and their mission and their lessons and the creator and all involved. All we have to do is just for one moment allow the light of consciousness to come in and remind us God is all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, all things, in and through all things, and there will be beauty and intentionality and grace and mercy that comes from this. Just like our miscarriage, just like my father's passing, just like all of the pain and trauma and chaos and abuse that we bestowed upon each other in this relationship, because it forced us to heal. It forced us to love because we weren't loving before, right? It's so easy to look at this and be like, oh, they're these innocent victims, right? They don't deserve that. We're not victims or innocent. So much of our suffering was self-created in this partnership, and I look back on it, I needed that. You being unfaithful was necessary for me to learn to love myself, to quit giving my identity, my power, my happiness, and my wholeness away to you, to really feel like I was broken so that I could be broken, literally, open. There's a book called this, Broken Open. And it talks about like breaking open so that the light can shine into the cracks. We have to break to let the light in. That's just the nature of the human experience. I didn't make those rules. I don't fully understand it. It's why I'm studying metaphysics, but that's a really beautiful way of looking at it. We are cracking open this world right now, and these systems and this corruption and all of these things, so that the light can go in. Do not get lost in the crack and the breaking. Do not become the breaking. Be the light that goes into that break and transforms it and transmutes it with love. And the answer? How do I do that? Gratitude. I'm grateful this corruption's coming to light. I'm grateful this child trafficking is coming to light so that children can stop having to experience this, so that we can start talking about these things that we have been hiding and ignoring because they're too painful to look at.
And we use these things as fuel to build something different, to change the way we relate with one another and with the world. This is the magic sauce. We use gratitude to then fuel our passions for making a change. That can't happen if we're stuck in sadness or anger or any of the other lower vibrations like fear. We can only make a change when we are living from a place of love. And that, if anything, please take from this episode. We need you holding that frequency of love alongside us and alongside our brothers and sisters, because the way that this planet has been living is not sustainable. And we have an opportunity to make a different choice. So thank you for listening to this. Thank you for doing this work alongside us. Thank you for choosing love and for seeking gratitude in the storm, because I know it is not an easy thing to do. But we can do this.
Yes, we can. And I know this is a heavy episode. It's a heavy thing to talk about. It's heavy stuff we're moving through. Thank you for listening and doing this work, because it's time. And I'm excited for that. I'm grateful that we are finally talking about it and finally acknowledging what's always been there, so that we can make different choices and we can build a different world for our children. The most important thing that you can do right now, other than choosing love by being in gratitude, is please share this episode. Share this episode with someone in your life that you see struggling and you see sitting in those emotions and just not able to get out of the suffering. Share it far and wide, friends, because we can uplift the vibration of this planet. As we do that collectively, choose more love, choose more gratitude, cultivate more joy, more peace, etc., it will quite literally vibrate out everything that's not in alignment. We are right here alongside you. We are rooting for you. We are rooting for humanity. We are rooting for Mother Earth. Stay grounded. Stay in the love, friends. Gratitude delivers us to love. You know, this last couple of weeks have been really intense. We've been navigating a lot. We've got a lot of really potent content that's going to be coming out of this time frame about core wounds, really getting to the root cause of what the heck is causing all of this in our world. Why do we have a world of seemingly perceived broken people running around creating chaos and hurting each other? Healing those core wounds so that we can transcend this stuff. We've had a lot of opportunities for faith. You know, we've seen, I think, 7 states in the last 2 weeks, fallen in love with a couple of them. Virginia was amazing. Philly was amazing. Cincinnati really stole our hearts. We only have 8 more states to go. This journey is almost over. And then, well, I don't really know what we're going to do. We haven't quite figured it out yet, but we're trucking along. And through multiple breakdowns and car accidents, and just opportunities for surrender and love and faith and gratitude, we're feeling it. You know, we're feeling pretty tired. We're feeling pretty worn down. And this last 48 hours has literally been just 2 inner children crying together and wanting to give up and saying, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. We're at war right now, and it feels like it right now. And every single person that I know that I've talked to in the last week says the almost same thing. Holy hell, it's intense right now. I'm feeling it. I'm struggling. I'm going through it. Catalyst after catalyst after catalyst. We are in the spiritual gym right now. And We are warriors. We were born for this. We got this. We are super quantum galactic machines that can literally move storms. And we did on that second hurricane. You better believe many of us were up very late praying at and for that storm. And look what happened. We can do this, y'all. We are in this together. Gratitude delivers us to love. Please, 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 please come be in the love with us. We can save space for and empathize with and hold those experiences. We don't have to become them. We don't have to feed them. We will fight this fire with love. We will win this war with love. I love you. We are rooting for you. We are praying for you. And just know, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, you're not in this alone. We got this.